and lead us into as a church. And so we've been going through a series where we're just talking about what does it look like for us to be fruitful as a church? What does it look like for us to be fruitful as believers in the things that God has called us to do based upon all that has taken place over the last 10 months and what we see the Lord calling us to as we try to grow as a church and just live out our faith. And so I told you I was going to talk about this, but today what we're going to talk about is prayer. And I want to preface this message by just saying we cannot accomplish anything. You can't accomplish anything apart from the Lord at work in your life. When I say anything, anything that seeks to glorify God or bears fruit in a manner that glorifies God and is good for you as God has ordained it to be. We are people who are desperately in need of God's grace. We are people who are desperately in need of God's power and spirit at work in us to help us accomplish his good purposes. And a real quick example would be, and this is just a silly example, but today when we showed up, this thing right here didn't work, right, Hannah? And so we, Hannah and the team back there spent a while trying to figure out connections and getting this thing up and running. And we're talking, did you pray? And people are praying, Lord, please make this thing work because we've exhausted all the technical like skills we have. And you got a lot, right? No? Okay. Anyways, like somehow it worked, didn't it? Obviously it's on. Did we kind of figure out why? We did. Okay, so the Lord gives wisdom, and as we're living life, this is just a silly little example, but we need God to be at work in our life to help us accomplish the good things that he has ordained for us to accomplish. And so one of the ways we approach God is through prayer. And prayer is a vital means for us as a church to commune with our God, to talk with our God, to cry out on behalf of others and pray for others. And so we approach him. And so let me pray and then we'll jump into this message. Lord, I ask that you would pour out your spirit upon us, that you would lead us and guide us, Lord, in our prayers, Lord, in the ways in which we commune with you, not just through your word by reading it, but Lord, by taking your word and praying it back to you that your will might be done. And I ask that your will would be done right here in our church through your word that we're going to look at this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Luke chapter 11. And I'm going to share a story with you that is, to preface it, because it's a little story, it's based upon some true events. You know, when you're watching a movie and it's like, this movie is kind of based upon some true things. And so this story is based upon kind of some true things. And I'll share the true things later and I'll kind of work that out. I'll let you guess in it. But I wanted to share this story with you. So here's what happened. I have a brother-in-law who lives up the street from me. Brian, this is going to include you. I didn't even ask you, but permission? Yeah, okay. Based upon some true events, Brian's a godly man. Anyways, he lives up the street from me and we share a lot of stuff. And it's been a blessing to have my in-laws up the street, to have their kids come back and forth. We've got a well-worn path over about 15 years of different things going back and forth, and we share a lot of stuff. And so the other night, like several weeks ago, I had a friend show up at my house. And it was like at 12:30 at night. And they were from out of town, and we had no idea they were coming. They knock on our door. They catch us by surprise. And they're really hungry because they've been traveling. And Sarah is just, like, excited to have them here. And we open up the fridge and the pantry. And, of course, I got all these teenagers here. And then friends of teenagers come over. And they eat all of our food, especially my Chobani yogurts, Ethan, leaving none for me. Well, anyways, our friends were hungry and they needed something. And we had nothing. And so Sarah takes them upstairs, gets them seated. And what I do is I call my in-laws. But it's late. It's like 12:30. But I know they're usually up. But this night, they were not up. I don't know if Brian went to bed early. Billy was in bed early. Even Nelson, they were sleeping. So I'm texting them, and I'm not getting a response. And so what I do is I then start to call them. no response. It's very unlike them, very unlike them. But they're just not responding. So then what I do is I go over there and I begin to just knock on the door, just lightly, you know, because I do not want to wake Nelson. You wake Nelson up, the whole house gets up. You just don't do that stuff. Anyways, I went there because I know they have food. They always have food. Maybe not the food that I like. They have a lot of organic food. Maybe you guys would like that stuff. Anyways, I know they have food. And Brian, I bring Brian into this, is Brian has really grown into becoming a great cook. Right, Brian? Chef. I'm sorry, chef. Brian has grown into be a great chef, meaning he can make chili. Okay? He can make other things, but he makes just a mean pot of chili. And I knew they had that. And so I was knocking on the door, and he just wouldn't answer. So then finally, I just started banging on that thing, ringing the doorbell just like his kids do at my, actually, they don't ring the doorbell anymore, just like my neighbor's kids do at my door, where they just ring and hit that ring over and over again. That's what I was doing because I needed it. I was desperate for it. And so Brian comes down, and he kind of opens the door, and he looks at me, and he said, "What are you doing?" I told him the whole story, and then he just slammed the door in my face. I thought that was strange, very unlike Brian. Anyways, my friends were hungry, so what did I do? I just continued to ring that doorbell, just obnoxious, and I started to lift my voice, and I was just yelling, "I know you're up. I know you have chili, and I know you have organic milk. Can you just give me some so I can share it with my friends? They're hungry." Real loud. I wouldn't leave. Finally, he came down. He opened the door, kind of grumpy. Brian can be grumpy once in a while. I haven't seen it. I just heard about it, but my kids have seen it, right? Anyways, he opens the door, and there he just hands me the pot of chili, doesn't say anything, gives me the organic milk, slams the door. I go home, and me, Sarah, the family, we just enjoyed the chili and had a feast. Kind of a silly story. Again, based on true events, not all of it's true. If it was all going to be true, what really would have happened is if I would have texted Brian would have answered immediately. This is kind of brother-in-law, yes. And not only would he have answered immediately, he would have probably hand-delivered the chili and the milk, and then he would have stayed to eat with us. And so Brian's not a grouchy guy. He's not like that at all. It's just based upon some true things, and nobody really showed up to my door. But I share that with you because it has to do with the way in which we approach God in prayer. The way in which we cry out to God boldly and persistently and faithfully for the things that we believe God has called us to. Because there's a story we find in the book of Luke that's very similar to what I just shared with you, and Jesus used it to teach his disciples how to pray. And so my hope is just to kind of run through this and hopefully give us some time so that we can pray. And my other desire in this is that as we look at this section of Scripture, my hope is just to kind of build our faith a bit so that we are a people who give ourselves to praying boldly, who give ourselves to praying persistently, and who give ourselves to praying expectantly for God to pour out his Spirit and bless his church and advance the gospel in our homes and in our church so that we might be fruitful and he might be glorified. And so I said that Jesus shared a story similar to this. And so it comes from the book of Luke chapter 11. And I'm just going to read verse 1 through 4 first, where he says this. He kind of sets the context where his disciples were watching him pray and they heard about him praying and they said, "Teach us to pray." And Jesus said this to them. He said, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place," this is verse 1, "and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray,' as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" So what Jesus did there is he kind of gave his disciples a basic outline, teaching them how to pray. When you pray, he's saying, remember God your Father. Remember that he's holy. Remember who it is that you're speaking to and you're communing with. He is a holy God. Pray that God's kingdom would come. Pray that God would advance the gospel through his son, Jesus, being proclaimed by the church to the community. Pray that God would provide for you. He says, give us each day our daily bread. That just reveals how dependent are we upon God. We're dependent for our very next breath. We're dependent for God to give us wisdom to say our very next word. We're dependent upon God to give us a bit of self-control so we don't say the wrong word. We're dependent upon God to sustain us that we might have our job longer than the next hour. We're dependent upon God to give us the kids he's given us that they might grow up the way he desires for them to grow up, that they might know him. We're just absolutely dependent upon him, and it's a daily thing. Forgive us our sins. Just a guide. We sin. We talk about this a lot. We talked about this last week. We are sinners who've been saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Sin still remains. Therefore, it's a daily thing where we're just asking God, please forgive us. Not being surprised by our sin. And so he just gives us this guide, and then he leads them into this parable that's very similar to the story I told about my brother-in-law, where he teaches us pray boldly, pray persistently, and pray expectantly. And I think as we continue to walk ourselves through this year by faith, I think these are the ways in which God wants us to pray. So my hope is to build our confidence that we would be a people who just pray daily. Praying boldly, persistently, and expectantly, because we believe in a big God who's at work and can accomplish his good purposes, all according to his time. But I also am sharing this message because I'm aware sometimes we don't pray. I've preached different messages on prayer, and I've asked the question from the beginning, how would you evaluate your prayer life? I'm not going to do that because typically we always say the same thing. It's not as good as it should be, you know, because we feel a little bit of that conviction at times where we just think, yeah, I neglect it. I'm not praying without ceasing, or I could spend more time. I think we can just acknowledge we probably all could spend more time praying, especially when he says pray without ceasing, all that kind of stuff. But my hope is to encourage us here. Big God who invites us to draw near to him. So the first thing we learn in this thing is that we're called to pray boldly. And so I'm going to transition now to Luke 5, where Jesus shares this parable. And he said this to his disciples, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. See, Jesus, he shares this with his disciples to teach them to pray to their God and Father with this boldness. The friend in this parable didn't give his friend 3 loaves of bread because they were friends and he loved to serve his friends. No, he gave him these 3 loaves because his friend wouldn't stop asking. Because his friend continued to knock. Because his friend continued to ask and ask and ask. And so to get him to leave, he gave him what he needed. See, it takes a certain boldness, doesn't it, to continue to approach our Heavenly Father, to continue to ask him for what we need. What would you do if you had a neighbor show up at your door like this man in this parable, or like the story I shared with Brian? What would you do if he just was persistent and continued to knock? Would you turn him away? I think we'd just give him, right? Eventually you kind of give in and you just give. And Jesus is teaching us here that there's a need for us to be bold in the way in which we approach our Heavenly Father. Think about it like this. God is teaching us and encouraging us here from his word to be the type of kid that never stops asking for what he wants. Do you know those type of kids? Where they ask for something and you might say no the first time, or maybe you just ignore them, but they just continue to ask and ask. I have a couple of them, not all of them, but I do have a couple, right? They like to ask a few times, and they're really good at that. But it, in a real way, what we're learning from this parable is that's how God wants us to approach him. Not in a selfish, sinful way, but he's using this parable to teach us to just come to him, to be bold in the way in which we approach him, asking him for the things that he calls for us to do, that he would pour out his blessing upon us. So, church, I just want to encourage us here to be bold. To be bold and to approach our heavenly and holy Father in prayer. And to not give up too easily. It's easy to give up. We ask and we just think, well, okay, well, the Lord can just, he can do whatever he wants. And that's true. He can do whatever he wants. But sometimes what God teaches us in the ways in which we pray is he's teaching us to continue to draw near to him, because our timing and his timing, they don't always match up. See, he's not this genie in a bottle where you just got to kind of throw out one prayer and he's just going to do whatever it is we asked him to do in that moment. You see, God's all wise. He has the perfect way to accomplish his purposes. We could have prayed just once and this thing could have worked. Instead, it took like 35, 45 minutes and we were all off in different directions trying to figure out how we were going to serve you with words to what you were going to sing. And then all of a sudden, it just worked. See, the Lord has a timing, and he's teaching us things throughout that, and we just continue to pray. We just continue to approach him, and we continue to submit our will to his will and trust that he will accomplish his good purposes. So let us pray boldly. Next, we learn that we are to pray persistently. So building off of the parable, Jesus instructs his disciples to pray persistently by saying the following. Verse 9, he says, "I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened." Now, isn't that encouraging? It's so encouraging. It's like a go sign. It's like pulling up to the stoplight, but you don't even have to stop because it's just this green light, and it's just straight down 92. Every green light. Anybody ever get that? It happens once in a while, I promise. I promise. I drive from Roswell back to Miles, and occasionally I will get every green light all the way from Crabapple Road all the way to Wade Green. Maybe once or twice. But that's what this is like when you read this. And he says, ask, seek, knock. And not just that, he says, ask and you're going to receive, or it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find it. Knock and it will be opened. There's a call here for us when we come to him boldly that we would come to him asking him to accomplish his good purposes. Seeking his wisdom, seeking his will, searching his word. For how his word might shape the way in which we pray, that we would pray according to his will and not, again, our will being done. And then knocking and trusting that he's going to open the door. Again, this doesn't happen always according to our timing. A lot of times it's met with a yield sign or a stop sign. And so there's a call to just, again, be persistent. Trusting that when we ask, he hears it. When we ask, he will give us what we need. Not always what we want, but what we need. When we seek, he's looking to reveal things to us. And when we knock, the door will be opened. And so I just want to encourage us as a church, keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Especially if you're parents. Well, everybody, but I just think about this for parents. As you pray for your kids, just keep asking. Keep seeking the Lord. Keep knocking. Keep trusting in a holy God, a heavenly Father who loves you. And we know this because he sent his Son to die for us so that we might have this right relationship with him. where we can keep asking and we can keep seeking and we can keep knocking and keep trusting in Him. But if we're going to be a fruitful church, we need to be a church who prays persistently. And lastly, we need to pray expectantly. See, when we cry out to the Lord, we need to expect that we actually have a heavenly Father who hears us. And we know this because we know He knows all things. He sees all things. He hears everything. Nothing ever catches Him by surprise. Yet He invites us into this close relationship with Him where we get to have a real communion with Him. We get to read His word, and it's like no other word. It's living and active. And we get to speak with Him. We get to talk with Him. We get to pray to Him. We get to ask Him to accomplish His good purposes. And when we do this, we need to expect that He hears it and He's eager to accomplish His good purposes. Our Heavenly Father loves to answer prayers. Verse 11, He says, "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" What I love here is there's just this picture of who our God is. He's the best Heavenly Father we could ever ask for. He is a good God who gives good gifts to His kids, to His children, to those of whom He has redeemed. He's not like earthly fathers who give bad gifts sometimes or who disappoint sometimes. See, our Heavenly Father never disappoints. It may not be what you want, but it's what you need. Because He knows what's best for us. You know why? Because He created us and He's at work in all of this and He's in charge of all of this and He walks us through all of this, all according to His good purposes. Paul, writing to the Romans, said this in chapter 8, verse 32. He said, "He who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things?" So the reason I share that is because what Paul does there is he just, again, helps us to see what Jesus is teaching us here about our Heavenly Father. See, we have a Heavenly Father who did not spare His own Son. Just think about it. This is where the gospel applies to the way in which we pray expectantly. The gospel has to work in our lives like this. God did not spare His own Son, Jesus Christ. Instead, He sent Him to earth to live in our place so that He would be killed on a cross, so that His body would be broken, His blood would be poured out, so that we would be redeemed and given everlasting life. That's what Paul's teaching us here. That's what Jesus is trying to teach us about praying expectantly. We have a good God. You have to believe this. He doesn't disappoint. He's not a bad Heavenly Father. He is a great, great God who did not spare His only Son. And then Paul just concludes with this. Well, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Again, I feel like I gotta kind of temper this a little bit. That doesn't mean that you are going to win the lotto today. It doesn't mean that you are going to be exempt from suffering. It doesn't mean that you won't find yourself in a conflict with somebody else, but what it does mean is that we have a gracious Heavenly Father who killed His Son to save us and who is eager to give us exactly what we need and what is good for us. And we see throughout Scripture, He walks us through all of those other things, those disappointments or those suffering, and we know that He uses them all for our good. Because He's not primarily interested in giving us the best life here on earth. He's interested in building His kingdom that we might spend eternity with Him forever and ever. And He walks us through this. And so I share that with you because that's who our God is. And so when we draw near, we must pray boldly, we must pray persistently, and we must give ourselves to praying expectantly. So what I want to do is I just want to close out our time by just putting this into practice. I told you a few weeks ago, we're just going to spend more time together as a church at the end of our meetings just praying. Because we need the Lord to accomplish His good purposes in us and through us. See, we can do a lot of things, but if the Lord does not build this thing, it just doesn't get built. We labor in vain. And the same is true for your marriages and for your parenting and for your job and for your school and just all of life. And so we desperately need our good Heavenly Father to pour out His grace upon us. And so what we're going to do is just take some time. I'll come back up and close this like we usually do. You can break up into small groups, family, kind of separate yourselves out, whatever you feel comfortable with in the sense of praying together. You can go ahead and just do that now. And the things we're praying for is we're just praying for God to accomplish His will in and through Sovereign Grace Church. Father, we thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus, to save us. Thank You for this love for which You have poured out upon us. And we just ask that, Lord, You would build Your kingdom. Lord, You would build Your kingdom by using Your people to proclaim the gospel. Lord, that You would use us, that You would anoint us with Your Spirit to proclaim the gospel to folks, and that, Lord, the gospel would go out and it would be Your power to save people. And so, Lord, please save people. Please add people to Your kingdom. Lord, please give more and more people everlasting life. Help them to know the hope of trusting in Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask that You would strengthen this church. Lord, You would strengthen us with Your Spirit. Lord, that You would soften our hearts, so that our faith may grow. Lord, that our faith to pick up a cross and follow Jesus would increase. That our faith would increase, Lord, where fears keep popping up. Lord, where we find ourselves being anxious about relationships or friendships or school or jobs or whatever it may be, Lord, as we think about the future, Lord, I pray that You would strengthen our faith, that we would trust You for our future. Lord, I pray that our love would abound all the more for You and for one another, that there would be a great unity in this church around the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, that there would be a culture of encouragement. Lord, when people show up to our Sunday meeting or wherever it is that we are gathering together, Lord, we ask that they would experience encouragement. They would experience words that fit the occasion, that give grace, that build up those who are present. Lord, I ask that You would help us to be a grateful people, that we would be more aware of what You are doing than what we don't have or what we're not getting, and that we would respond with just gratefulness, Lord, recognizing that You give us everything we need. And You are very gracious. Lord, would You help us to worship You faithfully? Lord, to worship You faithfully in our homes and together as we gather. Lord, would You anoint us with Your Spirit, and would You draw out of us the gifts that You have given to us that we might use them faithfully? Lord, would You bless this church as we leave here today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.